Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word. We proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Hope you've had an awesome week. Tonight we're going to do part two of something that we started last week, because of course it's not a surprise to anyone who listens or anyone who knows me that I didn't go through everything I wanted to go through. And we used the text from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10, where Paul talked about how there shouldn't be divisions, that we should be joined together in the same mind, and we should have brotherly love and unity for each other. And after all, we're in the kingdom, we're adopted sons and daughters, we're co-heirs with Christ, and we should have a united message. And Paul goes on to plead in the name of Jesus, in the name, capital N, that there be no divisions, that we be joined together, that we preach the same message, that we be of the same mind. And this, of course, is not only true, it was not only true at that time, but has been true through all of Christian history, and is particularly true in our time, where we've witnessed the great falling away that Paul writes about in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. We've witnessed that, and that now we have a remnant of believers, a remnant of people who are still adhering to the true gospel. And the gospel has been hijacked in so many different ways that we really need to have the church, in terms of the entire body of Messiah, preaching the same message and being joined together. And as I always like to say, the time for bickering among denominations, the time for church as usual, has to be over, because we are living in an unprecedented time as we get it, as we are deeper into the end of the end days, and we need to bring the message of salvation to everyone. And everyone who will listen should get a united message of salvation, not talks about whose denomination is superior to the other denomination. And Paul was very upset about this. He heard about disagreements among the people. You know, the Greek word means that the garment was torn, the garment was rent. He said, we can't have that. There was strife in the body. And people said, well, you know, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and some people said, well, I'm of Christ. So in this sense, their division seemed to be based on who their ministers were, who their favorite preacher was, who their favorite teacher was, who they had heard speak, who had brought them the gospel, and they became somehow attached to that person as a person, and not as minister of the gospel. And they were loyal to individuals. And we see that today. We see that in our time. You put on Christian TV, and you see this all day long. You have Bob Smith ministry, and you have Joe Jones ministry, and you have Joe Blow ministry, and you have Sally Jones ministry, and all these things are named after people, and all of these people then have a base of people that follow them, financially contribute to those ministries, and we'll talk about how so-and-so is the guy I follow for these reasons, and I don't follow so-and-so for these reasons. And Paul was so upset by this that he says, in the name of Jesus, he wants this to stop, because the gospel message was the same. This, of course, comes from human nature being at work. Loyalty to leaders, loyalty to people that you admire, overlooking things in people you admire, and criticizing things in someone that you don't admire. And of course, it's not just ministries. It's not just in churches. It's in all aspects of human life and human endeavors. But when it's in the ministry, then it becomes divisive, because the body cannot be divided like this. And the body should not be divided by human factors. And then, of course, when a teacher, a preacher is held up as being so much more awesome than any other preacher, than any other teacher, then, of course, pride enters into this as well. And I don't mean to criticize individual people. I'm talking in generalities, but I think you can understand the situation that as people are put in positions of popularity, of notoriety, and unfortunately, as money starts to roll in, they may have a different attitude, a different outlook on things than they did before. They may feel that they're the authentic preacher. Everybody else has problems. Everybody else has issues with the message. But the gospel should be the same. So Paul beautifully points out, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And of course not. He points out that Christ is not divided. He is the message. He is the one, capital O, that is important. He is the one that the gospel is about. The gospel is not about being nice. It's not about not hurting people's feelings. It's not about tolerating everything. It's not about just helping the poor and everything else will be fine. It's not about doing the best we can. The gospel is about Jesus the Messiah, and he is not divided. He's the center. So that, as Paul points out, we should be united in the message. None of these ministers that he mentions, whether it's himself, Paul, or it's Apollos, who was a Jewish believer from Alexandria, who apparently was very well educated, learned, and was a great orator, or whether it was Cephas, Peter, these were ministers of the gospel. None of them could save you. None of them died for you. They were simply the instruments of proclaiming the gospel. Just like today, we should be the instruments of proclaiming the gospel. We should be the ones that are ministers of the gospel. As Paul points out, he says, I'm a minister of the gospel by the grace of God. He spends a lot of time in 1 Corinthians talking about this. And so he points out, we shouldn't be having these divisions, because we should be pointing to Christ. And so if he points out Jesus is one, capital O, and we know that he is in the Godhead, he is one of the three persons of the Trinity, and we know there is one God, and the Shema of Deuteronomy 6:4 cannot be violated, of course. There is one God in three persons. If there is one God with one gospel message, why is the body divided? And a lot of this, as you know, has to do with human input. It goes into this. humans thinking they understand better than another person, and they understand much better than that person. They understand, well, somewhat better than that person. And people's opinions become the important thing. And this isn't done maliciously necessarily. It just happens because we are human beings. And this is not the way the proclamation of the gospel is supposed to be. The person, the personality, does not determine the gospel, does not determine the power of the gospel, does not give the gospel its authority. And the leaders, the ministers, the proclaimers of the gospel don't set the plan. They don't set the plan. And Paul goes on to say, were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Because if you were, that sets a serious problem. If someone was being baptized in the name of Paul or in the name of Apollos or in the name of Cephas, that would be a problem. And he emphasizes this again in a very interesting way. In verse 14, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, of course. I haven't been reading all the scripture, but please look it up. Please read it for your homework. It's an amazing, amazing book. So in verse 14, he writes, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. He says, I wasn't sent to baptize. And I was sent to preach the gospel. And I'm thankful that I didn't baptize very many people. He baptized a handful of people in all of his ministry. I mean, your average pastor, your average minister, your average parish priest, your average messianic rabbi probably baptizes more people over a couple month period of time than Paul did in his whole career preaching the gospel. He says, I wasn't sent to baptize. I was sent to preach the gospel. And so he says, I'm glad I didn't, because I didn't want people to think I had baptized in my own name. Well, what's he talking about there, about this? He didn't want people to think, hey, if I baptize you, it's going to be much more awesome than if that guy over there baptizes you. Or, you know, if I baptize you, the rest of your life, when you're interacting with your fellow church members, the people in your congregation, you can say, I was baptized by Paul. Who were you baptized by? I never heard of that guy. I got baptized by Paul. Somebody else could say, hey, I got baptized by Peter. Peter baptized me. You know, this is the guy who was with Jesus for 3 years, was considered head of the apostles, was the leader of the group. He baptized me. So, hey, that's pretty awesome. Who baptized you? Somebody that no one ever heard of. Well, Paul's trying to prevent this. He didn't want anybody to boast that they had been baptized by Paul. He didn't want to make his own disciples. All of the rabbis of the ancient times had disciples. Jesus was not the only one who had disciples that followed him. We know from the scripture, John the Baptist had disciples. Every itinerant preacher, every rabbi that traveled around, they all had groups of men that followed them. They all had disciples. They all had students. Jesus was not the only one that had disciples. And so he wanted to make sure that people didn't begin to follow him as disciples, because they are supposed to be following Christ. We're the body of Christ, the body of the Messiah, and we're not supposed to be followers of individual people. And so Paul talks about this very seriously. He says he was sent to preach the gospel. He was set up to be a vessel to the Gentiles right from the beginning, right from the road to Damascus, right from what happened in Damascus when Ananias came to pray over him and heal him and then baptized him. And considering everything else that I just said, we don't know. I don't think we know what happens to this guy Ananias that goes into Paul's room in Damascus on the street called Straight and prays over him, confirms the word that Saul slash Paul had gotten. The scales fall from his eyes. And I always thought it was so neat that Ananias calls him Brother Saul. And this was a man who was persecuting the church, was persecuting believers. And this man, Ananias, is sent by the Lord to heal Saul, Paul, to baptize him, to tell him again what his mission is going to be. The scales fall from his eyes, baptizes him, and then as he went on with his ministry, and I'm sure he was involved in other ministries, and we don't know where he went, how long he lived, or necessarily what he did, but I wonder if he could keep from telling people, hey, you all know who Paul is, you all have heard about Paul, and you, some of you have read his letters, I baptized him. I'm the one who went in, healed him, the scales fell from his eyes. I called him Brother Saul, and then I baptized him. That would be quite a boast. And I'm not saying he did that, but I sometimes wonder whether he could resist from saying, well, I was the one who was involved there. So Paul says, I'm the vessel to the Gentiles. He was told by the Lord himself, capital H, that he, Paul, is the chosen vessel to the Gentiles. You know, there's kind of a general division that is in the book of Acts and in some of the letters as well. And Paul brings this up periodically that he was sent to the uncircumcised, and Peter was sent to the circumcised. Well, that's of course not strictly true, not absolutely true, because we know that whenever Paul went into a city, he went to a synagogue first. He went to the synagogue first because his order, the order given in the scriptures for evangelization, is to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And Paul, of course, was obedient to this. And as you see so many times in Acts, and so many times he mentions it in his various letters, that he went into the synagogue and he preached Jesus as Messiah. He debated with the people. He was commonly thrown out of the synagogue. He was commonly persecuted. And then he would say, well, you've shown yourselves unworthy of the gospel. You've shown yourself unworthy to even hear the gospel preached. And then he went and preached the same gospel to the Gentiles. And it's really quite amazing. He's the chosen vessel to the Gentiles. Now, this was the man who studied under the Rabbi Gamaliel. And from the time he was 13 years old, the time of his bar mitzvah, until the day of the road to Damascus, we're not told in Acts, we're not told by Paul in any of his letters when that was, how much time went by from the actual time of Jesus to the Damascus Road experience. We don't know if it was in 34 AD or 35 AD or 36. We don't know. But it was a short time after Jesus had left the earth in his physical form, ascended to heaven, Pentecost came. There probably was some time where the persecutions were going on by Saul of Tarsus. And then he gets the message. Then he gets the message that he is the chosen vessel to the Gentiles. So this Pharisee of Pharisees, as he calls himself, Hebrew of Hebrews, more zealous for the law and for the traditions of the Father than any of the other Pharisees, advancing in Judaism more than any of them, he becomes the apostle of grace and the apostle to the Gentiles. That is so awesome. That is so amazingly powerful that I like to call him the linchpin of the gospel, because it shows what the gospel did. That Jesus was the end point of the law. He came to fulfill the law. He was the ultimate, perfect, unblemished sacrifice that brought salvation to Jew and Gentile. And so he picks this serious, brilliantly intellectual man who was arrogant and was more zealous than anybody for the law, more zealous for the traditions than anybody else, and chooses him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. I love this. I mean, this is the perfect example of what the gospel is. And so as Paul goes and proclaims the message to Gentiles, who, if you know me, you know what I'm going to say, they had no idea who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. They had no idea that the Jews were waiting for a Messiah. They had no idea what was going on in the temple. And they could have cared less. They could have cared less. None of them got up in the morning and thought, I wonder when the Jewish Messiah is going to come. I wonder if somebody's going to come today or next week to tell us about the Messiah. No. Paul came and preached the gospel, and through the action of the Holy Spirit, these people came to faith in the Jewish Messiah. It's really quite remarkable. And he was one of the chosen vessels, not the chosen vessel, of course. Because, you know, later in 1 Corinthians, he talks about how he was called to be an apostle, but in a different way than the others. He never walked with Jesus in the Galilee. He never went to Jerusalem with Jesus. Jesus never said to him along the shores of the Galilee, follow me. Jesus never came up to him in the temple grounds and said, hey, Saul, I want you to come with me. But he called him in a totally different way. And because of his background as a Pharisee, because he had a pretty high degree of arrogance, as you can see by reading what he writes, he says in 1 Corinthians that I'm an apostle too. I was chosen in a different way, and I've done more than all the others. I've done more work than Peter. I've done more work than Andrew. I've done more work than all those guys who were with Jesus and were the 12. But then he adds, but by God's grace, I'm an apostle. I didn't call myself. No man gave me that office. No man in his human authority gave me that. I was called, and by the grace of God, I'm an apostle. And then he adds, it doesn't matter who people heard the gospel from, as long as they heard the gospel. And they came to faith in Jesus. They came to faith in Messiah so that they could be saved. Because in Romans 10, although he's writing about Israel, you know, in Romans 10 and verse 17, he writes, Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And because the Scripture had preached so much about Gentiles coming into the kingdom, Paul was the instrument, the main instrument, that caused this to happen. So he didn't want divisions in the body. And we shouldn't want divisions in the body. Oh, I know the music's already been playing. Well, that's going to conclude this lesson. And next week we'll start something else. So I hope you can join us next week at the Gift of Grace, and we'll read and teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week. I am raised in faith.